I say amen. Are we eating lunch, preacher?
Yep.
They always put the fat preacher up before it's time to eat lunch. Amen. You better get in. I don't know how much longer this thing's going to last. It may last, I don't know how long, but you better get in while you can get in. And get all you can out of these meetings. And I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter number, we'll start in chapter number 15. When Brother Wayne called us a while back about coming and being part of the meeting, I was in Walmart, and it was on a Thursday night, I think, and he called, and we were talking, and the Lord put two passages of Scripture. We delivered one last night, and we'll try to cut out this introduction and just get to what the Lord has gave us to leave. And I want to be a help, and that's failed my lot. I don't apologize for it. When I had an old-timer tell me, when a preacher calls you and invites you to come to a meeting, he wants you to be you. He doesn't want you to be someone else. You've got something that can help his people, whether it's rebuke, whether it's encouragement, whether it's an exhortation. Whether it Brother Frazier, God's helping him to preach to all people, but he really relates to young people. And so I want to deliver to you what God has gave us. 2 Samuel chapter number 15, and we'll just read two verses, in maybe three, in verse number 22 of 2 Samuel chapter 15. The Bible said, "And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all of his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." We'll stop reading right there. We could go back to the introduction in chapter number 15, and it's dealing with the uprising of Absalom, David's son. And I won't go back and look at all of that, but it started out with just a few men, and in the process of time, it grew to a lot of men. And his son wooed the hearts of the people. There's possibly 40 years that this conspiracy took to come about, and it broke the heart of the man of God. We dealt with some of that on last night. And we know that Ahithophel, how that he joined ranks with Absalom, and you know why. You do remember that it was his granddaughter that David had that affair with in Bathsheba. And I don't think Ahithophel ever got over that. And I don't know if he laid at night and wondered, when will I ever get back at him? But he did change ranks, and he joined up with Absalom. And it broke David's heart. You know there in Psalms, the sweet times that they had together. And then the message comes in chapter number 15 that is going to lead them to cross this brook Kidron. That's what I want to look at for just a few moments this morning, is this truth about the brook Kidron. This Kidron, I was reading, I've never been to the Middle East. I've talked to some that have been there, and they say that the Kidron, that it would flow in the wintertime as well as in the summer when storms would come. It would get out of banks. We're just talking about the background of it. We could go to 2 Chronicles 29, and it was just basically a sewer system that led out of the temple, out of the tabernacle. One man said that the brook was about 3 feet wide from bank to bank, and that doesn't seem like it's a great distance to cross, but until when it becomes your brook, and when it gets bigger than, you know, others may say, well, I've been there, and I've encountered that, and I'm praying for you, and I know how you feel. When it becomes your brook experience, you'll understand what David has went through. We could talk about the background. We could talk about a beautiful picture. In Jewish conversation, when you were facing times of calamity, it was called facing a brook Kidron. When a loved one died, they would say they're facing a brook experience. When a time of sorrow come, my wife, she and her father may be in the first stages of dementia. And I went through that with my mother. Their times of sorrow. The Jews would relate that as a brook Kidron experience. And when you were hurt and being devastated, facing life's difficulties, they would say that that family, that individual is encountering a Kidron. When you look around this whole story and you think about that brook experience, it brought about the betrayal of family.
family. As we said already, the betrayal of that friend of Ahithophel. And you think about this, had Absalom not done what he did, David would never had to have faced this situation in life. You know, a lot of children are killing parents, and I'm watching grandparents having to raise children now because my generations just went ballistic and went their own way. And you think about even going back when David was a young man and he fought against that Philistine. You'd think his boy would have some appreciation, because had it not been for David defeating Goliath, the whole nation of Israel would be under that Philistine rule. But Absalom's full of pride and full of sin, and he goes and he does what he did. It's related around the betrayal of family. It's related that Brook Kidron. It's related about around being brokenhearted and fatigued. David is dealing with the heart. His heart's been ripped out by his boy. And the thing about it is, it doesn't really set at home till it comes to your house. And it's your son or your daughter. It's in your church. Brother Langston told us years ago, you better never say never, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. When you get around the Brook Kidron experience, it always pictures bloodshed, whether it's figuratively or literally. And as David fled from Absalom and that rebellion, it pictures another one that crossed a brook. In John 18:1, you find Jesus. The Bible said when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the Brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. Ahithophel betrayed David. Judas betrayed Christ. I'm glad when you come into these places, nobody else may know what you're going through. Others may not be able to show compassion, but there is one. Now, I'm not talking about David. I'm talking about the sweet Son of God that knows what betrayal is, knows what it is to look over a people and wished to his father that they would have followed. The first Adam, he disobeyed in a garden. And the second Adam, his obedience began in the garden. David may have been talking about that in Psalms 110 when he said, he shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up his head. But in just a few minutes of closing, I want to find some help for the Brook Kidron experiences when they come into our lives. That word there, when you come to the end of verse number 23, that word wilderness, you can look it up in a Strong's Concordance. It's 1696. It's a place. It's a place of being. You look it up, it means driving or to be drove. Absalom drove his daddy to a brook experience. I think about in my own life, the gray hairs I put in my mother's head and the places that I pushed her to and that she never should have had to encounter. We ought to think, young people think, church people think, mom and daddy think. The choices you make, not only are they going to affect you, but they're going to affect others. This thing about the brook, it affects everybody that's mentioned in this story. Look in verse number 22. I won't reread them, but it affects people of all ages. People of all ages. In verse number 22, it said there in verse 22, go and pass over. There's Ittai the Gittite passed over. All of his men, all the little ones. It affected the leader. It affected David. Nobody's immune to these places of the Kidron. It affected it. This time, the lost, depraved. You've got that Gittite there. He doesn't know God, doesn't know about God, but he's going to stay with David and his household's going to get converted. Because that's where the ark's going to end up, in the house of Obed, Edom, the Gittite. I'm glad there's help down the road to get past these Kidron experiences. But you notice at the end of verse number 22, it affected the little ones that didn't do anything. They were innocent victims of these brook experiences. The Bible said in verse 23, there was a loud voice as they depart over the Brook Kidron. There's weeping. Verse number 23, all the country wept whether you want to look at it, however you want to look at it, being drove into that place of the wilderness. David, no doubt, is wondering, like many of us had, as we said last night, where did I fail? Where did I fail? I remember my mother making a statement to me before I got saved. She said, "Jimbo, where did I fail you?" She said, "I tried." She did. As far as I'm concerned, I had the best daddy, and I know I had the greatest mother that ever walked on the face of the earth. Godly, I mean faithful, kept us in the house of God, went to work and got a job to put food on our table. Mom and dad, it's not your failure. We could have all done better. But young people, married people, church people have a choice in what they're going to do. What they're going to do in life. In verse number 24, "And lo, Zadok also and the Levites were with him." There's the priest. It affects preachers as well. Coming to this place of the Kidron. We could look at it as being symbolic of weeping and shattered worlds. One man said this. He said, "David's home did lack in discipline, but not in provision. David loved, he provided, and he gave. But it seems like it's going to be endless." But you say, "Preacher, where's the help at?" Watch this in verse number 30. "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." David's weeping under the load, but David goes up. David could have said, "This is it. I'm not going. I'm not moving. This is the last time I'll cross these brooks. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated. The lost people are watching and looking." David could have sat down and said, "I'll never go again." But David got up and David went up. The situation hasn't changed. He's still weeping. The people are still weeping. But he gets up and he goes on. I wonder if it might have been right there where David pinned down, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Walking by faith, trusting as he goes up the mountain that God is going to meet him on the mountain. He may have remembered where God met with Abraham and Isaac. And by faith walking up that mountain saying, "God, can you and will you help me?" Amen. The warriors undermined it in verse 31. There in verse number 31, "And one," and I know that's numerically, but I was raised around Baptists, Pastor Baptists, so I'm going to give one a proper name. "One. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." You don't think David knew that? You don't think David knew that his counselor had turned on him? And here's David trying to get up, trying to go on, trying to pick up the pieces. He's got the Gittites watching him. He's got the nation of Israel watching him. And he's trying to get up and he's trying to go on. But you've always seemingly got one. That tries to throw a wet blanket over everything that you're trying to do. Do you ever have that crowd, Mr. One, Mrs. One? You know, they'll never come to you and unload on you or your wife, the pastor's wife. But here they'll say something like this, Brother Wayne. They'll say, "Preacher, I just want you to pray and help me pray." They'll say something like this. They are talking about leaving. I never have met they. I never have met them. I just come to the conclusion that it's the one family. And they're covering what they're thinking about and contemplating. And then they try to put fear and doubt on you and your wife and the elders of the church. Here's one and he's bringing up. Instead of encouraging, saying, "Go, David. We're behind you. We're weeping. It can get better. It don't have to stay like this." The warrior David is undermined. But look at verse 32. "And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God." It's already been said this week, and you understand it. Somewhere in the 26 years I've been saved, praise and worship's got all messed up. You know, when you read worship, we think that's running, and I'm for it. I like it. I'm a crier. That's just what I remember where God found me. I just start crying and weeping. I have took a lap or two. I have been on the back of a pew before. But the thing about worshiping is coming where David's at, realizing you can't do anything, and God's the only one that can. And David gets to that top of that mountain, and he begins to worship God. In the midst of his Kidron experience, have you ever wondered what it would be like to set in that worship service? Again, some educated men that I read after, they believe that Psalms 3 was pinned down on top of that mount when David was fleeing from his son Absalom. Let me read it to you and I'm done. Psalms chapter 3 verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord. Sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000. Thousands of people that have set themselves around me about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. Thy blessing is upon thy people.
Amen.
Selah. He's not praying to get saved again. He's saying, Lord, deliver me. That word there where David is talking about that salvation, it means to rescue me. Lord, would you help me in this Kidron experience? I don't know where you're at, where you are, where you may be. But I'm glad there's one that we can go to. I tell you, there's a lot of this Bible. And be honest, Brother Jeff, just the last 3 or 4 years has God really whet my appetite to know these words. See, words don't mean the same. A lot of them don't mean the same as we use them. And I heard men of God and I thought, well, you know, that's just boring and they just trying to act like they know more. But I've got the responsibility of feeding a flock and I need to know what it's saying. Am I saying it right? Is it in context right? I sure don't want to change what God is saying. There's help to be found. We've heard that all week. There's help to be found in the house of God, in the Word of God. From the man of God, from Sunday school teachers standing up and breaking the bread of life. You may be facing a brook. I've talked to people this week that have encountered situations. And you wonder how in the world. And the thing about God, you try to figure out God. That's what got Jeremiah in trouble in Lamentations. He tried to figure out why God did what he did. You can't figure him out. You can't figure him out and you never will. But here's the thing that's always devastated me. And here's something I can't get a hold of. Maybe you can help me, Brother Donnie. God knows the beginning from the end. But God doesn't stop a lot of things. He gives man a will and he gives man a choice. Devastation comes. Tragedy comes. I'm glad that there's help when you cross brook experiences. You may go to others and they may not understand. It's not their brook. But there's one you can go to, John 18:1, and you can see the footsteps of the Savior crossing that brook. That writer said it's only, I talked to a man that had been in the Middle East, he said it's only 3 feet wide. You ever had somebody say, well, you know, it's just this, or it's just a son or daughter, but when it's yours. I got a young preacher in the church, I got 2 minutes, I got a young preacher and he's pastoring now. He reminds me so much of Brother Jeff. What my brother told me about Brother Jeff when he first got saved. I mean, he's just hemmed himself up with God and don't have a whole lot of books, but he's got a whole lot of God. He's preaching in. He's far superseded anything I could ever do or try to be. And he's pastoring that little church. And he'll call me every Sunday. Boy, it was good, preacher. It was good. But then he'll call sometimes and I can hear that in his voice. He'll say, preacher, the men want to meet with me. And he gets nervous. And I'll tell him, I'll say, Brother Jeffrey, I said, you just stay in that Bible. You just see what God has. He called me back that night when they were going to meet with him. He said, the reason they met with me, he said, they're going to give me a raise.
Amen.
But not everybody understands what you're going through. But there is one. And I thank the Lord for giving us these days of meeting. And I'm glad for those that are continuing on. I'm glad for those that are still carrying the torch. Don't try to find somebody's mantle. That was their mantle. I don't know this thing about passing torches and mantle. I don't even know if that's it. I don't know. Find what God has for you. Be what God wants you to be. If y'all come over the mountains where we are, some of y'all been there, I'm really the only one that wears suits. Some of the men, they'll probably have on overalls. They've been out working and doing cattle and things of that sort. The ladies will be modestly dressed. We're not real loud. We're not real running. We're not. But I'm telling you, if God ever sets him, they'll begin to worship him. But I'm going to tell you one thing. They have a word. They have a love for this right here. That's the only thing that's going to help. That's the only thing. When the world falls apart and life does what it does so well and you face brook experiences, is that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen, preacher. Amen. You said 20 minutes? I'll take... No, sir. You know why? My brother told me, if you ever take more than the moderator gives, he said, you won't deal with the moderator, you'll deal with me. And I know he ain't here, but if he comes where he's at and comes to where I'm at and deals with me, I'm going to do what the moderator says. Amen, preacher.
Well, amen. Amen. I'll tell you how I'd like to close it out. Brother Allen, I'd like for you to get a song, just a verse or two. And here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for us just, if somebody's been a blessing to you, would you just go tell them, maybe in this meeting, one of these preachers, just bless your heart. I'd like for us to do that. Let's stand to our feet if we would.